I want to preach with a thought on four Roman nuns. Now, you'll catch on to this just here in a little bit, but preach on four Roman nuns this morning. In Romans chapter 3, I'll ask you to stand to your feet one more time. Romans chapter 3, we'll begin to read in verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this another Lord's Day that you've given us to come to be in your house. Lord, it's now time for the preaching, and you know how much that we certainly need you to come by and help us and touch us this morning. Lord, we cannot preach without you. We would not want to preach without you. And I pray that you'd guard our mind and our thoughts this morning while we preach and touch us and anoint us afresh. But Lord, we ask and pray that if there's one in this service, in this house, that's never been saved, I pray that we could point in that to you, not in their goodness, not in my goodness or my righteousness or their righteousness, but to see your righteousness this morning. And God, that they'd come to you and get saved because of Jesus Christ. We pray this morning, if there's somebody here that has a need, I pray that need would be met this morning. And Lord, that you just come by and give us liberty, and that while we preach, we just certainly need you. Again, we thank you for the choir singing. Lord, we pray that it has honored you and brought glory to your name this morning. And we just now pray that for the preaching hour. Help us now for these things. In Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen. And amen. Romans chapter 3 this morning. If you look back in chapter 2, let me say before I go on, let me stop right here this morning and ask, sure enough, does anybody have a song this morning? I kind of feel like I need to ask that. If you don't come, I'm going to preach. All right, Romans chapter 2, if you go back, you look, and Paul is telling the church at Rome that the Gentile and that can get saved. You find that the Jew and the Gentile had to get saved the same way, that being a Jew did not help them anymore. If you look back in chapter 2, you'll find that he even talks about them being hypocritical in the life that they were living. They were holding on and that to their Jewish heritage, and yet it was not going to help them because they needed and that to get saved. We come and we look at the first part of chapter 3, and you'll find that Paul is saying that there was some things, and there was an advantage if you look in verse 1. He said, what advantage then hath the Jew or prophet? Is there of circumcision much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. So we know that God, and at first dealt with the nation of Israel, we know that God called Abraham, made a nation out of him, and give and that to Israel, the Word of God. But we find that it's Christ Jesus, and that came and died for us. We find that Jew and Gentile, according to Ephesians 2, must come the same way and through the same shed blood that the choir sung about this morning. Friend, if you've never been saved, let me encourage you and that to come this morning and ask Jesus to save you, because He's the one that died for you. But four times in this scripture we find in verses 10 and that through 12, we find that there are four Roman nuns. And you'll find out that, first of all, you find that the Apostle Paul said that there is none righteous, If you look back in verse 9, you see that he has proved that Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. Every one of us was sold in that under sin when Adam done what he done in the garden. Now this will be a simple message this morning, but an honest and a truthful message. And if you're lost and never been saved, I want you to listen to me this morning. He said right here, first of all, that there's none righteous. That word righteous means just or according or accordant to divine law. Let me tell you this morning, friend, when I was lost, if you're lost, I stood before God guilty, unrighteous in my sin. I listened before Him, just a plain old sinner. I need to get saved. And Paul said, look, there's none righteous. No, not one. Listen, that's exactly what none means. Not one. Listen, you know that your nature will show you that you're unrighteous. Your nature, your very nature, that Adam dropped us off into sin, your very nature comes out in you and shows you that you're not righteous. Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, he said, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Listen, your very nature slips out on you. In Romans chapter 5, the Bible said, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know that by nature you're a sinner. Listen, do you know why you sin? Listen to me, friend. You're not a sinner because you sin. Listen, you sin because you're a sinner this morning. That's what you do. It's your nature. And that to sin this morning without the new nature put inside of you. I could not change myself. Hey, listen, a leopard cannot change its spots, the Bible said, and you cannot bring a righteous thing out of an unrighteous thing. Is that not what Job asked over there? He said, can a man bring a clean thing out of an unclean? He said, no, you cannot. And so this morning when he talks about being righteous, he's talking about being right and that before God. Listen, it does not matter how educated or uneducated. It does not matter how rich or poor. It does not matter whether you're religious or unreligious, that friend. In your natural state, you are unrighteous and unjustified before God. I remember those days. Looking back, I was not righteous. The Bible said in Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul did. He said, but the Scripture has concluded all under sin. We're all under sin today. We're all unrighteous before God. We go back to the text verse, and what did he say? Jew and Gentile, prove both. Jew and Gentile, that they are under sin. Can I tell you that me and you were born unrighteous? We're born unrighteous. I mean, when I came into this world, I was unrighteous. David said in Psalms chapter 51, he said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin, then my mother conceived me. Listen, when I come into this world, I was unrighteous. So our nature condemns us and shows us that we're not righteous. Paul, he begins to talk about all these people and all the people down here below in this chapter of those that are unrighteous. Talks about how their throat is an open sepulcher and their tongue. They've used deceit and their poison of ash are under their lips. And he goes on to talk about those folk. Our nature condemns us, how we were born. Our character condemns us and shows us. You know what, this morning, if we were righteous, then we would choose right every time, wouldn't we? Amen? Listen, if you were righteous in yourself, you would choose right every time. Have you chose right every time? Hey, I struggle to choose right now sometimes. Amen? Listen, my outer man, hey, I'm going to tell you, I wish he was saved, this outer man right here, because he is who I find most of the time. I blame the devil for a lot of things, but I'm just going to be honest with you. It's generally my flesh that I'm fighting. Amen. Now, I know he slips in, and I know that he fights. Satan does, and I understand those things. But listen, if you were right, listen to me, if you've never been saved, if you were right in yourself, then Christ wouldn't have to come die. He comes so that we could be righteous. But your character condemns you. If you'd get honest, most of us don't want to get honest with ourselves. You know, David, he got honest over that one part. Well, I'll preach on this at the nursing home today, Lord help us. But he said, Lord, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. He was getting honest with God. He wanted in that to be honest. Now, if you'd get honest with yourself and look on the inside and look at your heart, I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation. You understand that this morning? But you're not righteous in yourself. What makes you righteous today? What makes me righteous? I mean, man is incapable by nature to keep and by his character and that to keep the law of God. Proverbs chapter 20, Solomon said, who can say I have made my heart clean? And I'm pure from my sin. You know, there's only one that ever kept the law, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, "Think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill." And he goes on to say that there wouldn't be one jot or tittle in that place away from the law until all be fulfilled. But he said that there's none righteous. People think that they're righteous, that their works make them righteous, that their works and their religion make them right before God. If that was the case, then the Jews had it going on. I mean, they were serving God by the law. They were working as they should, but yet, friend, that work was not good enough and that to make them righteous. 1 John chapter 3 said, whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. You're not perfect, neither am I. But righteousness, only by Christ righteousness. If you look in the rest of the way in Romans chapter 3, look in verse 23. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So, as He paid for us and He bought us. You do realize that you're a paid for and a bought vessel and you don't own yourself no more. Amen. Hey, thank God. Hey, Paul said, I'm not my own. Hey, listen, when I got saved, I don't belong to me no more. I belong to Him. And look in verse 25, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation, talking about Christ now, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness. Now, did you catch that right there? His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God to declare, I say at this time, here it is again, His righteousness that He might be just and the justifier of Him which believeth in Jesus. So when me and you got saved, if you're saved this morning, then His righteousness got imputed and that unto me. Amen. Listen, when you got saved, Christ's righteousness got imputed and that unto you because of what He done at Calvary and because of the life that He lived here and what He done for the Heavenly Father. Listen, Christ was righteous. He done something that no other man could or will ever be able to do, and that was keep the law, that was die at Calvary and raise again. Christ Jesus, the Lord. There's so much to that. I'm afraid I'm not going to be good at this morning, getting it out. But what I want you to understand is it takes His righteousness applied to our life. His righteousness. Hey, when you stand before God, and you will stand before Him one day, how are you going to stand before Him? You know, it's one thing to have to be called up before the judge when you didn't do something. I mean, you were right. And whatever it was, you were right. And when all the evidence is laid out, and the judge looks at it, he can say, you were right. I'll never forget, I went with some friends one time to the courthouse. His business was being sued, and I was going for moral support. And some things had been stolen, and they'd rented some equipment from another company, and that piece of equipment had got stolen, but yet that company had told them where to park it and where to leave it, and they said, we'll be there to get it this afternoon. That was on Friday. They did not come on Friday. They did not come on Saturday, Sunday, nor Monday. They showed up Tuesday afternoon, and that piece of equipment had been stolen sometime between Friday and Tuesday. So as I, and that really been the first time I'd ever been to the courthouse, I got excited when we said the Pledge of Allegiance. When that judge, I hadn't said the Pledge of Allegiance since I was in school. I was excited, man. I mean, I was about to get it. I'm telling you, we come out there and we salute that flag. And anyway, we carried on with that with that trial. And they brought the one witness up for the side that I was there on the defense. And he told everything that happened. Told it exactly, just like it was. And so they excuse him. And they bring in the witness and that for the other company. And that told him what to do. And the great thing about this old boy was is he told the truth. They put him on the stand. And his own lawyer asked him, said, well, what happened? And he began to talk and tell exactly what happened. He asked and said, did you tell him to leave it? Yep, I told him to leave it exactly where he left it. And the judge stopped that thing right in the middle. And he said, look, counselor. He turned and looked at the prosecution. I guess that's what you called him. And he said, look. He said, the two witnesses on the other side, they agree with each other. He said, why do we need to go any further? And the defendant's lawyer jumped up and he said, I move that everything be dismissed. Judge, let it go. And we run out the door. When all the truth came out, he was found righteous. He was found right for what he had done. But if you stand before God the Father without Christ and His righteousness being imputed to you, you're not righteous. You're not righteous. Paul said that there's none righteous. No, not one. You're not right before God. I was not right before God in my religion. I was not right before God until I got saved. Then Paul said right here, thank you. Then Paul said, I guess that was from Wednesday night. I appreciate that. I'd already drank out of it once. Did Zach drink out of that Wednesday night? Okay, good deal. Where was I? Verse 11. There is none righteous, no, not one. Then he said, there is none that understandeth. There's none righteous, but there's none that understand. You know, we have an understanding better than the beast of the field. But you know, man don't understand how he's guilty before God, nor understand the things of God without God enlightening his eyes. Can I tell you that there had to come a day that God had to enlighten your eyes. There had to come a day that God had to shine in on you and show you and get you to understand that you were lost. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That natural man, he's talking about you and your lost condition. You know how I know I'm saved? I'm not in my natural condition anymore. I have received and at the things of God. I have read in this scripture and God opened it up to me. I have received direction from Him. That's just a little bit to know that I'm saved today. Listen, if you're lost, the man that does not understand, the woman, the boy or girl that does not understand must be shown. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Very familiar scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look in verse 18. Paul said, well, look back in verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, as the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You know what? We got, there's a lot of preachers try to make more out of that thing than there is. There is so much to be made out of the cross of Calvary, but we can't do it in our wisdom. We got to do it in the wisdom of Christ. Well, I mean, if you'll present Him as the dying lamb at Calvary, the one that paid for my sin and your sin life, hey, I'm telling you, that'll get the job done. Amen. They've been men preaching that. They've been men preaching that message for years, and that's about all they've known. Hey, it's the cross of Calvary, and it got the job done. But he went on to say, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, look you here, foolishness. These folk out there dying in their sin today, and they have no idea what makes the difference in our life. They have no understanding. They said, we preach to them and said, the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We understand that, don't we? For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom with the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Yeah. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? Do you realize that the wisdom of this world cannot, will not, and shall not ever bring anybody and that to Christ? Amen. It will not work. It's going to have to be by the wisdom and the drawing and the working of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. For that is the only thing that will do it. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. They got too smart for God, didn't they?
Right.
Now look at that again. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. They don't understand why men have to preach. They don't understand why Christ had to die at Calvary. They just don't understand. While they're in their sin, they don't understand why they must come to Him and that to be saved. They don't understand. I think a lot of times we expect sinners to know what they need to do. Sinners are sinners. They're not looking for God. Do you know that? They're not. I mean, there's none that's seeking after God. I'll deal with that here in a minute. But let me down. I'm getting ahead of myself. But you know why a sinner won't seek after God? The same way that a crook won't look for a policeman.
Right.
He knows he's going to be in trouble when he gets there. But there's none that understands. There's none that understands. There's none that understands in that the work of Calvary. What do you mean? I understand it. Yeah, but God had to shine into your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul put it like this. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He has to enlighten your mind and your eyes and your heart. He has to point and that to Calvary. He has to show you what He done for you. He has to show you that you're unrighteous and that without Him. And then He shows you that if you would come to Him and ask Him to save you, that you could get saved. Why God? You ever wonder why God said that the way He said that? Why the shed blood? I mean, God set it all up, I mean, the way He wanted it. I mean, I see all the types from the very beginning of Adam over there in the garden when Adam and that was walking with God, and then him and Eve sinned, and God had to kill an animal to cover them. Listen, something had to shed its blood from the very beginning of that to Christ. Have you realized that there has not been a sacrifice that had to be made since Christ came? You realize that? But there's none that understands. Man does not understand his condition, nor understand the remedy for his condition. He has to be told. Why do you think that the Apostle Paul made again in the Scripture over there where he talks about for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. It takes preaching. It takes the Word of God and that to be enlightened in somebody. God has to deal with the sinner. You know, until the Lord dealt with my heart, I wasn't going to get saved. I made profession when I was little. Got baptized when I was little. I was probably 5 or 6 years old. I made a profession in the backyard Bible school that they were having at my mom and daddy's house. And I remember doing that as just a little boy. But there was nothing, never changed on the inside. I'm not telling you can't get saved at that age. Hey, God can deal with hearts and work a miraculous work in a little one's heart. Sure can. But I remember one night when I was 14 years old that God began to deal with my heart. And He began to show me some things that He had never shown me before. And that's that I was lost. You know, after I went and got saved, after He enlightened my heart, I didn't understand from that time when I was 5 up until I was 1. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. My mind is good on some things. My daddy says I get conflated sometimes. But my mind is good at some places. I can't remember some of the, I don't know if God dealt with me before I was 14. I can't remember. And if He did, so be it. But I remember that night when I was 14 when He began to deal with my heart. And do you remember when He dealt with your heart? He had to enlighten you and bring an understanding to you that you were lost and needed to get saved. There's none that understandeth. So Paul said there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. He's dull to God and just don't have an understanding of what Christ Jesus the Lord done for him. And does not care. I'm glad there was a night that He enlightened me and gave me enough understanding to see that I was lost and that I understood enough to know that He was the only one that could save me. But then He said that there's none that seeketh after God. And that goes back to that policeman bit right there. Why a sinner ain't looking for God, the same reason a crook ain't looking for a policeman. But listen, he said there's none that seeketh after God. Psalms chapter 10 said, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You come down through here and you read and that the rest of Romans chapter 3, what I read before when it talks about that they're all gone out of the way, they become unprofitable, how that their throat is an open sepulcher, whose mouth is full of cursing, their feet are swift, shed innocent blood or shed blood, destruction and misery in their ways, peace they've not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Do you know the world is not seeking after the Lord? They're not trying to find Him. Was you trying to find Him when you found Him? I didn't know that I was missing Him till He came by. Amen. Like one feller said, they asked a boy one time, said, have you found the Lord? He said, didn't know that He was lost. And didn't know that I was supposed to be looking for Him either. You know, a lot of times we want the world and that to come in here. I do. I mean, I'll be honest with you. We want the world. You know, the only reason that the world is going to come into this house is because they're seeking the Lord. God has done something in their heart and they're looking for something. But how many times does that happen? Hey, we're supposed to go out and point and that to Christ, ain't we? Say, hey, you're missing Him. This is one you're missing. Hey, I give a tract the other day to a little girl out there at the drugstore. I went in and on the way out, I give her one of them that says, what does it mean to be saved? And I'm always a little apprehensive when I hand out a tract, especially to young people. You don't know how they're going to respond. Well, you don't know how anybody's going to respond. But this little girl standing behind her, she probably couldn't have been maybe 21, 22 years old. And when I handed it to her on the way out, I turned around and I walked back over there to her and I told her who I was. I said, I want to invite you to come to church this Sunday. We'd love to have you. And I turned around and walked out. And as I was turning around and walking out, that little girl was starting to read that tract. Amen. That don't happen all the time. It don't. I'll never forget when we was in Chicago that time. Brother Chapman, we'd handed out tracts. We found some laying on the street. You know what that tells me? They weren't concerned about God. You see what I'm saying? There's folk out there today that are lost. You may be sitting in here today listening, and you may not have come seeking the Lord. You may not have come looking for Him, but He's found you.
Amen.
That is when I begin to seek Him, is when He found me.
Amen.
The Bible said that He came, in Luke chapter 19 and 10, that He came to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
If you're lost this morning, that's you. And you need to get saved. There's none that seeketh after God. You know, Adam walked with God until him and Eve sinned over in the garden, and then Adam hid from God. His sin made him hide from God. There's none that seeketh after God. Ain't you glad the Lord come to you one day or one night and brought you to a place that where you could see that you were lost? He come to you. He gave you understanding. And He made you see that you were unrighteous before Him. John chapter 6 said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Without a drawing of the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget one of my buddies. He's got three young'uns. And when his youngest boy, he's youngest in there, I wanted to get saved. He's at that age. He's six, seven years old, somewhere in there, maybe eight. God was dealing with him. And he just didn't know how to work that thing out in his mind.
Yeah.
You know, 6, 7, 8 year olds work a little different than we do.
Right.
You know what? They'll believe it because God said it. We got to be convinced of it sometimes. But his daddy talked to him on the way home from church. It was just him and his daddy in the truck. His mama and other sisters there was riding home in another vehicle. And his daddy asked him, he said, son, he said, have you asked the Lord to save you? And he said, I've tried. And he said, God just won't save me. And he was struggling with that thing. And one Sunday night when his preacher got done preaching, and the invitation was over, he said, I looked over at him, and he said he was just weeping and crying. And he said, I leaned down there to him, and he said, I want to go get saved. But he said, church is over with. Let me tell you, if church gets over with, that's okay. You can still get saved. Well, we've had that happen in revival. I've seen that happen on the front porch. Listen, we've had that happen more than once. Church going on don't mean that you can't get saved or not get saved. Amen. And when God finally enlightened himself to that little boy of what he needed to do and dealt with his heart, he got saved. He went to seek God. He wanted to find the Lord. You know, the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 55, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he's near. You know, when he's dealing with your heart, when he's knocking, Revelation 3 and 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, will open the door. He said, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Hey, when God knocks on your heart and deals with your heart and he's coming by, that's the time to move.
Yeah.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Hey, it may not be salvation that you're needing this morning, but God's dealing with you maybe about some sin in your life, maybe about some direction that you're going, or maybe you're needing direction. Hey, listen, and God is trying to give it. Better not turn away from it. But he said that there's none that seeketh after God. He said they're all gone out of the way, so there was a way that they'd got out of. They're all together become unprofitable. But then he said, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. So that brings us to the last one. There's none righteous. There's none that understandeth. And there's none that seeketh after God. But there's none that doeth good. You know, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 39 that every man in his best state is altogether vanity. In our best state. You know, the Bible said in Isaiah 64, Isaiah 64, where he said that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's the good stuff about us. But he said there's none that doeth good. So God makes a judgment right here in verse 12 when he said there's none that doeth good. No, not one. So if you think that your righteousness or your goodness is what's going to get you into heaven, it don't work that way. You know, the Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You realize that me and you cannot boast about anything that we've done. One fellow said one time, if there's anybody in the Bible that could boast, it would have been Noah. Noah built the ark, didn't he? I mean, think about this for just a second. I'm not saying Noah could boast or that he did boast. I'm just saying, listen, Noah done the work. He drove the pegs. He tarred the inside and the outside. He built the boat like God said to build. I mean, you ain't done nothing. All we've done is got on the boat.
Amen?
All we've done is get in the ark. All we've done is been saved from judgment. But we didn't do anything in our goodness or our righteousness and that to deserve what we got. We sang at page 3 this morning, it took the blood.
Amen.
There's none good. No, not one. You know, the only people that Jesus ever got right with, and that was in people that always thought they were good.
Yeah.
It was in people that always thought they were righteous.
Right.
He had compassion and He had a great love and that for those that were lost, for those that were in a lost condition and knew they were.
Right.
But see, that religious crowd, they thought their religion was going to get them there. They thought their goodness, their righteousness was going to work, but it would not. And what was it he told them over in Matthew chapter 23? He said, you cross land and sea and to make one proselyte. And he said, and you make him twofold more times to hell than yourself.
Right.
If there's one thing that I want you to understand this morning, it's that I believe in living right. I believe in holy living. I believe in righteous living. Not only when I'm standing behind this pulpit or in this church house, but when I'm out there.
Amen.
But that's not what's getting me to heaven. Holy living and righteous living is what I have because I am saved.
Right, yeah.
That's not what saved me, and that's not what's keeping me saved. Listen, but you need to understand that I do that because I am saved.
Amen.
I was listening to one feller. The other night he was talking about going to Bible college. And this was back in the, probably in the late 50s, early 60s. He said we had to sign a pledge when we went into Bible college. He said, one, that we would not smoke. He said, even if you caught on fire, you wouldn't smoke. I thought that's pretty good. He said, you would not drink. They didn't even tell you what to drink. You're just supposed to understand what not to drink. And he said that you would not dance. Boy, when's the last time you heard a good preaching sermon on not dancing? And then he said number 4 was that you would not want to do those things. Well, think about that for just a second. He said that you would not smoke, you would not drink, you would not dance, and then that you would not want to do those things. Now, it's one thing to live holy and to live right. You know, Baptists have been tagged. And by the way, I'm Baptist as Baptist can be. But we've been tagged as the denomination do nothing. You can do nothing and have no fun. I think living for the Lord is great fun, myself. You know, when you get saved, it changes your want-tos. It did mine. It changed my want-tos. Now, let me say that. After I got saved, there was some want-tos that still hung around. You know why Paul told us to put off the old man and put on the new man? I mean, when you got saved, something changed on the inside. But from the inside out, it had to work, and there has to be a work on the outside that has to change. You know, when I met Him, and I'm determined in my heart and know beyond a shadow of doubt that I met Him because there's something happened on the inside. I didn't understand about His righteousness. I didn't understand about His blood. I didn't understand none of that. But I know that I was lost, and I know that I needed to get saved, and if I come to Him, He could do it.
Right.
Everything else I've learned along the way.
Right.
You know, that bothered me for a long time. It did. That not knowing some things when I was young, after I got saved, bothered me. What are you talking about, preacher? I mean, why didn't I know some things? Well, one, you got to read your Bible to know some things.
Right.
And until you get serious about reading your Bible, and I'm getting off track here, but stay with me. Until you get serious, you're not going to learn some things.
Right.
But then the Lord reminded me one day. I bet that hadn't bothered me, but maybe for a week or two. And I'm like, Lord, why did I struggle with this and struggle with that? And finally, it's like He smacked me on the head, and He said, son, you had to grow in everything. Them youngins that you're raising right now, and them grandbabies that you got, they didn't come into this world full grown. They didn't come into this world knowing everything. They get a certain age and they think they do. And then they get another certain age and they realize that they don't. I'm 44 years old and I think I know less now than I did when I was 20. And the Lord, He just kind of smacked me on the head and son, you had to grow into some things. But as I grew, my flesh also fought me while I grew. And it did not want to turn loose of some of those things also. But getting back to the message, there's none of us good. You know, the only good thing about me is Christ Jesus the Lord. Do you have Him in your heart today? I want to know, do you understand that you're lost and need to get saved? Do you know that your righteousness cannot do it? It's not even that our righteousness can't do it alone. It's our righteousness can't do it. It's not His righteousness plus our righteousness. It's His righteousness.
Amen.
It's got to be imputed, and that unto us, friend. It's like standing before the judge guilty. I forget which preacher it was. They caught him for speeding. And he just went to court. And he went before the judge. And he said, Judge, Your Honor, I was speeding. But I throw myself on the mercy of the court. And see, that's the same thing with Christ. When you come to get saved, you're throwing yourself on the mercy of the court. Be judged now and realize that you're lost. Realize that you can't do it on your righteousness, your goodness. Come to an understanding. Let God deal with your heart. And know that you need to get saved because it ain't your goodness that can do it. But we read the last part of Romans chapter 3. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's how you're going to get saved today, is you're going to have to come to Him. You're going to have to come to Him for His righteousness. You're going to have to come to Him for His goodness, because He's the only one that can save this morning, if you'll come to Him. Let's bow our heads across the house this morning. Brother Jeff, if you will, let's give us a verse of invitation. If you've never been saved, if you're depending on your righteousness, listen to me now. If you're depending on your righteousness, your religion, for salvation, it ain't going to work. I like having religion that is good to live by, but I like having religion that's also good to die by. You might be sitting in here and you've got something good to live by, but you ain't got anything good to die by. If you've never been saved, if you're dependent on your righteousness, if you're dependent on church membership, if you're dependent on anything other than Christ Jesus the Lord to get you to heaven and to direct your life, you're not getting there. He said there's none righteous. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that understands. And there's not one that's good. Four Roman nuns. Where does that find you this morning? Where does it find you? Saved or lost? That's the question at hand this morning. Are you saved or lost? Very simple message this morning. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you don't know, as we get ready to sing, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. If you need to come, I want you to come and get saved.
Jesus Christ the Lord loves you and died for you, shed His blood and gave His life so that you could get saved, friend, if you'll trust Him. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for what you've done for us, and for the mercy and grace that you've given us. But Lord, it's come invitation time. And Lord, there's no work that I could do in these folks' life to draw them, to get them saved. But I know that the Holy Spirit can. I know that He can deal with hearts and draw young men, young ladies, men, women, boys and girls, and that here to an altar so that they can come and get saved. And Lord, there may be somebody here depending on their righteousness or depending on their goodness. Lord, I pray that you've enlightened their heart and their eyes and their mind and showed them that they were lost and needed to get saved. Lord, there may be somebody here that has a need that is beyond that, that, Lord, that they just need to come, and I pray that they will. But I pray that you'd give those that are lost understanding this morning and open their heart and that to the receiving and that of the Holy Spirit of the Lord for salvation. Would you just help during this invitation time? And we'll give you the glory for it. For these things in Jesus' name, amen.